Today's podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to PTBN's NBA Team Podcast as we continue our NBA Draft Preview two-parter, and this is the second part here. I am one of your co-hosts, Andrew Reich. I am joined by Mr. Adam Murray. Adam Murray, are you ready to continue with our draft preview, our mega preview?
Yeah, you're weird. Let's do it by conferences instead of numbers preview. You know, it's a different format this year.
Let's be serious. If we did the second round, who would listen to a second round podcast? Like of any kind, even like say for example, like The Ringer did one, or like Woj did one. Like who would listen to a podcast where you just talk about second round talent? Maybe college basketball junkies who followed a lot of those players that get drafted. But outside that, I don't really get it.
Let's get our D-League draft going.
We got to get the numbers up, you know. I mean, we can't have our 80 listener first part be straddled down by our 40 listeners second part. You know
what
I'm saying? Of
course, of course. So now we are moving to the East.
Yeah, the Eastern Conference. I mean, obviously we have a lot of the high picks. You know, with the lottery, you have teams that are bad. The East had quite a few of them, but we'll get into throughout the whole process as we talk about the Eastern Conference. We're going to be going alphabetically, just like we did the last time, by city. And so, are you ready to just jump in, or did you have any comments about the East in general and what they could do for their futures, and you know whether they're going to be mortgaging their futures in this draft in particular?
Well, half the East had already mortgaged their future, you know, to tank as much as they can. Look at, you know, Philly and Brooklyn, and well, Brooklyn just got screwed, but you know, Philly, Orlando, just teams
the
Knicks that are
by accident.
Yeah, so we got a lot of teams that are really just could need anything at this juncture.
And especially watching the Eastern Conference playoffs and then the Eastern Conference finals, where Boston just got waylaid by a much more potent, much more powerful Cleveland Cavaliers team. So the idea is that, you know, all these teams are kind of in the same muddled section trying to keep up and trying to rise to the occasion against Cleveland, and whether or not it's going to be sooner rather than later. It's kind of like a more remedial version. Well, let me throw it to you back this way. Do you feel like there's more distance between Cleveland and the rest of the East, or do you think there's more distance between Golden State and everybody else?
Well, it is just Golden State and everybody else. Cleveland, it's, you know, Cleveland and everybody else in the East. However, you know, LeBron's looming free agency and Kevin Love not being, you know, I'd say the weakest superstar of superstars.
Well, he's rumored to, like, if they need to make a big move, Love's got to get traded. But and he's at high value now. So now, and he's, I think, going into the third year of a 5-year deal. So if you want to do it now is probably a good time. But
yeah, he has the value, and you gave out too much money to LeBron's friends, who are just specialists. Like, you know, we all like Tristan Thompson and J.R. Smith, but they shouldn't be commanding the salaries that they do.
Iman Shumpert obviously sticks out. I mean, you know, it's a kind of good we're talking about Cleveland in this little section here, because we're not going to be really discussing one of them. They're the only team of the Eastern Conference that does not own a draft pick, and they are so far into the tax, especially as repeat taxpayers, that they're, I mean, there's absolutely zero chance of them buying back into the draft. I believe they do not have a draft pick until 2021.
That's very sad for them, because they're going to be needing them really soon.
Oh, you're already doing the impending doom of the 2018, now bald LeBron free agency watch when he can.
No, it has nothing to do with that. It's just in 2020, LeBron is going to be how old now? Making how much money against the cap? So even if he's there, he's going to be just an albatross where you need that rookie scale, you know, especially those late first round picks, which are still very much a bargain.
He's 32.
So 35 years old.
Yeah, if you do a 5-year max, say, right now, like if, say, for example, he signed a 5-year max right now, he'd be 37 at the end of the contract. Now, I will say this, age 32 LeBron is still better than age 30 LeBron. Like, yeah. LeBron has somehow gotten, I'll put it this way, when he signed back with Cleveland, he got a little bit worse than he was in Miami, but he's gotten better every year since he's been back at Cleveland.
Of course, but the same thing we said about Dwayne Wade, like, oh, he keeps getting better, he keeps getting better, he keeps getting better. Oh, he went to Chicago and he got old.
I wouldn't say it landed with a thud. I remember, didn't he have a really good game against Boston in Game 5? They lost the game anyway by a pretty significant margin, but Wade had a good game.
Oh, he can put out good games. It's just, now they're just good games as opposed to a good month and, you know, good years. It's like, oh, well, we've slowed down a little bit. But, yes, let's move into the draft. We're starting off
with... Yeah, that's what I was about to say. You ready to get away with all... Get out of the kind of chit-chat stuff and get into the actual draft?
Ever-exciting Atlanta, the midway of mediocrity.
The A is in Atlanta Hawks. First of all, team needs. The ones that I have listed here, a steady guard. They definitely need athleticism. Dwight Howard's that is obviously not – he doesn't have the pep in his step anymore. You know, Tabo Sefolosha, they thought they were going to get an athlete there for a defensive wing. And, you know, he had the police incident that, you know, caused a leg injury that really took away some of his athleticism. It's a shame it wasn't his fault. But at the end of the day, it stunted his development as an athlete. I think they also need a shooter to replace Kyle Korver at the end of the day because their shooting was pretty – pitiful overall as a team. Let's start with the 19th pick there that they have. They have three. They have two in the second round. One of them is a good one. I'll get to that in a second. But the 19th pick, which is outside of the lottery, but kind of like, I mean, not the middle, but right before you get into the 20s.
Well, who do you have? This is, you know, as don't forget from, you know, just to recap our viewers, I have done, due to life events, I have done very little research outside of the top 11 picks.
Oh, so, I have no idea what you would be talking about. We discussed that in the previous episode.
Yes, I'm just catching people up.
You're catching them up.
That I've, again, still, no, well, maybe he did stuff for the East because he's in the East and he likes Boston. No, I've just sort of.
Okay, proud papa, I get you. Let me ask you this. How do you feel the team needs should go? Now, it's not necessarily that the NBA draft is like something where you just directly address all your needs. You can just kind of bolster something that you're already good at. But like, what do you feel like Atlanta needs the most?
They need a bench because they had, you know, they had their big core unit 3 years ago that got picked away piece by piece by piece. And now, you know, do you pay Tim Hardaway? Okay, you like Turian Prince. You have Bembry. Well, you need – is Millsap going to go? Well, you still have no backup to Howard or Millsap now. You have – who's a backup to Schroeder? Who's your starting – you know, you need a shooter.
Yeah, I mean, a backup point guard, like, I mean, a lot of these people need backup point guards because you just can't have enough of them. But 19 is a bit of a tough spot because the only one that I feel like is pretty good that would be at a first-round level, but it would be a very much a reach at 19, is Frank Jackson, the Duke point guard who had the really good athletic numbers at the combine and decided to keep his name in the draft after 1 year at Duke. I don't think he's going to go that high. If you want to go with like just a steady interior scorer, you know, if you just need a little bit more like of rebounding and some scoring to go inside, especially if you don't bring Millsap back, John Collins from Wake Forest might be a decent pick. And then there's TJ Leaf, who I think would be more of an ideal pick. That's the power forward out of UCLA.
I like the Collins pick. I think you sort of hit this one with him because he is sort of a tweener, but with Dwight Howard, you can have your four be a smaller guy.
He's a true five. He's not a big five, but he's a true five.
He is, but like I said, he's a small five. He's still a tweener. He's
6'10". Yeah.
That's a generous 6'10", I think.
Yeah, and defensively, he has a lot of issues. But TJ Leaf does, too. Now, I'm not saying these are the only two people available. I'm just saying this is sort of round ball, wheelhouse type of picks. Like,
yeah,
these guys that'll be there. So for those people that are saying, well, what about this guy? And you didn't mention this guy or Justin Patton. Well, it could be a lot of people. We're just kind of talking out of context because we're going by teams of these are the people that will be around by then and they might be good pickups.
Here's our things, you know, here's our people that should be on your short list. If somebody falls down, obviously, yeah, you take them without even hesitating. But, you know, we've narrowed it down to sort of three to five people.
So you like John Collins on that
mm-hmm.
one. All right, number 31 is actually a pretty good pick because Deontay Davis went 31 for the Grizzlies, and he actually wound up getting a guaranteed contract. I think it was the most expensive contract for a second round pick in the history of the NBA. So, I mean, this is a pick where I'm pretty sure history shows you get some pretty good ones. Didn't I think Josh Howard went 31st, right?
No, he went like 29th when Minnesota.
He went very late, but
he was the last of the first round picks. And
but 31's a good. It's a nice pick.
Super high value pick. If you sell it, you get the most cash for it because it's not guaranteed, so you're not tied to that rookie scale. And usually, that's the best international pick. Usually, but since it's such a weak draft,
and even with the guaranteed contract, it's like what it peaks at what. $2 million, maybe $3 million a year. It's not you're not breaking the piggy bank to get the guy. And you can also manipulate. Not only can you manipulate the numbers based on numbers of years if the player agrees, but you have the restricted free agency rights. So there's a lot of advantages there. I had Tyler Lydon. I also brought him up on the Western Conference one with the Spurs, but. Tyler Lydon, I kind of like that fit, sort of a taller power forward type. I mean, everybody would immediately compare him to somebody like a Ryan Kelly or a Frank Kaminsky. Kelly also played at Atlanta, you know, because he's kind of a tall white guy at 6'10", but he's a good shooter. He can block shots, and he's got some defensive presence. His body fat was very, very bad. He, it seemed like he wasn't even working out, but his shooting touch is very good. Budenholzer likes shooting, and he needed to improve on the shooting for the Hawks, like I mentioned. The other one I mentioned here is Terrence Ferguson, who plays better. He's a really good athlete, and he plays defense. Which kind of speaks to what Budenholzer likes, and they need athleticism, like I mentioned. But his shooting kind of goes in and out. He hasn't really impressed in his workouts. So do you feel about anything about these two, or do you see
somebody? Yeah, your Ferguson pick is way off. He is definitely going in the first round. Lydon, I will agree with you. I think that's a solid place to look at. Maybe Jonathan Motley as well. You could
the big man out of Baylor, the power forward. Yeah.
He's another person I think they could sort of look at.
And just because you pick Motley doesn't mean, oh, well, then they can't go with Lee for Collins. Well, yeah, you can. If you want two bigs in the draft, you can double down. I mean, this is, like I said, this is land yet once you get into the second round. You know, and then there's the new quote-unquote third round that we're not going to discuss, which is basically non-drafted summer league pickups that you know you're going to be able to get into training camp invites on your team because you have these new two-way contracts with the expanded rosters. That's different. That's like another process of the draft or the non-draft that continues throughout free agency as you play in the summer.
Also, like we said, they have no bench. Drafting two big men is not the worst thing. If you know, let's say Millsap and Howard come back, well, yeah, who's going to spell either of them? Well, right now you have nobody. So
you're losing Ilyasova. You might lose, even though you have his bird rights, you might lose Mike Muscala because someone might give him what? Say someone gives him $9 million, like 3 years, $27 million. You're losing Mike Muscala. You know, and they did well with Torian Prince, you know, who's sort of a rangy point forward type, plays good defense. And, you know, maybe Lydon they kind of see as like a bigger version of that or a better shooter.
Okay. So, and then the last pick of the draft, which they have, do you have anybody?
That's Mr. Irrelevant. I mean, you can go a lot of ways, obviously, with any of these late second round picks. But I picked Deontay Burton out of Iowa State. He's sort of he's a good athlete, but he's not in really good shape. That was always his knock when he was at Iowa State. But he makes some tremendous athletic plays. The other guy who was a really good athlete at Iowa State the year before, who wound up kind of climbing into the second round of the NBA draft, was Abdul Nader, who wound up going to the Boston Celtics and played for the Maine Red.
It's funny you say that because I would say I'd take a flyer on Monte Morris.
Well, I think Monte will be gone by then. I get the sense that all point guards will be taken way too early. It's like the new NFL quarterback. Like they're all gone way, way, way too soon.
Okay, you know, again, like we said with the West, you say that, but the second round is going to come. You're going to take international flyers over. You don't have roster spots, especially for the next team we're going to mention, Boston. They don't have any roster spots for these second round picks. So they're just going to take all flyers or sell the picks outright.
Number one seems like a default. I did want to just put in other names just in the case of just a small chance that Danny Ainge at the very last second before he pushes the button says, let me think about this. I obviously Markelle Fultz, who seems like the consensus. He did the only workout he did was with Boston. It seems like Boston likes him. They want him. He's a good replacement for Isaiah Thomas in case they either trade Thomas or they lose Thomas in free agency after 2018. But let me add these other two names to you. Lonzo Ball and Jonathan Isaac. Do you think those guys could be? Because they need rim protection in the worst way. Isaac actually fits that bill. I'm not saying Isaac should be like a number one overall pick, but he kind of fits what they need.
So you're thinking they're going to trade down with Phoenix or Philly or somebody?
Well, no, just pick them at number one entirely. I know it's a pipe dream, but I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, and then when Lonzo Ball, Josh Jackson, and Fultz all take off, and then you're left with a defensive specialist, it's going to look like, you know, the Anthony Bennett draft where you had a couple people below. It's like, well, why did you?
Then how do you fix the rebounding issue? I mean, I know you can't necessarily do it through the draft and just bing, bang, boom, it's fixed. But, like, so you don't feel like they're going to do that through the draft?
Well, they've already done it through the draft. Don't forget, they have Gershon Yabusele and Ante Zizic, who are rookies.
And then they got Jaylen Brown, who seems to be – I know he's listed at 6'7", but Jaylen Brown just looks bigger.
With the kid and play hair.
Really good athlete, though. How did you feel? I mean, because we can talk about it since that was the first of the, you know, the infamous quote unquote Brooklyn picks. Jaylen Brown, like, how did you feel about that?
Well, you know, when it first came out, obviously you're sort of like, well, why didn't they make that big trade? That was, you know, you're watching the draft. Oh, they're getting ready to trade Jimmy Butler. They want Jimmy Butler. That, you know, the Chicago's listening. Chicago's making counter offers, and it's just like Jaylen Brown. It's like, well, why? They, you know, he doesn't really fit the need of rebounding or, a shooter. And then it's just like, look at him. He's a super high IQ player and then makes plays. Okay, that's good. Then his development has shown. And you know, really playing him a lot of minutes in Game 7 against Washington and then all the series, it's just like, well, this is what we see. We see some nice development.
No chance of Lonzo Ball. Like, you wouldn't even think about him.
This is really another topic. We could spend an hour on this, but Lonzo Ball had, you know, this is the same thing with Ben Simmons last year. Lonzo Ball had TJ Leaf and
Aaron Holiday, Isaac Hamilton. They had
Ike Anagogu. You know,
Ike Anagogu, yeah.
Yeah. And Markelle Fultz had
crap.
And Markelle still put up 20 points, and look at Lonzo's court vision. Well, yeah, if you have which TJ Leaf, as we mentioned, you know, we've said before, very high IQ player. So if you're playing with smart, better people, well, it makes you look better by default. If you're playing with crap, then...
Yeah. Well, the other thing, too, is that Fultz has supposedly gained a lot of upper body strength over the last, like, few months. Because remember, he didn't play a lot at the end of the season, in the regular season at Washington. He had kind of basically gotten shut down because of some knee issues. I mean, not major things, even probably the more remedial type of, oh, my knee is sore type of stuff, so that they shut you down so that you don't get hurt at the end of a meaningless season where you're not going to make the tournament.
Oh, yeah, that's him saying, yeah, I'm done here.
Shut me down. But he's 6'5". He's been having growth spurts since he was like a sophomore in high school, but he's only like a foot or two shorter than Ball. He's not like a midgety, like rebound, like strong, tough rebounding guard type of guy. Like, he's a big guard. Like, he's going to be hard to keep out of the lane. So
yeah, he's a big guard. He makes plays. He can shoot. You can play him. You know, he's this new breed of combo guard. The same thing with Lonzo Ball, where you can play him at the one or the two. He's not just this, you know, like Dennis Smith or, you know, Nikoliita or all the other point guards. Yeah, you can only play him as point guard. You can't play him as a two. These two guys you can. But yeah, it'll be Fultz.
Yeah, so Fultz is the guy. Second round, 37th pick is one that they have. I'm trying to remember what was the parameters of the pick. It was through Minnesota and Phoenix, probably some part of that Brandon Wright trade that they did a few years ago. I have Sindarius Thornwell at South Carolina. He was one of their star players when they just unbelievably got to the Final Four. Kind of a heavier type of guard, but he's almost to the point where he can play small forward, and he just seems like a Brad Stevens type of role player guy.
But the thing is, where is there room for him? Well, unless you have a trade in mind where you need to get rid of bodies, yeah, you could go for a Sindarius Thornwell or honestly, when it came to Boston, I was just like, yeah, they're going to sell their picks or just take two straight internationals, you know, maybe.
Yeah,
take
like a Derek White or somebody like that, you know.
You know, Alexander Venzikov, was it Anzeks?
Anzeks Possessniks from Gran Canaria, 7'2". I think he'll be gone. You know, I think by then he'll be gone.
You know, if Isaiah Hartenstein doesn't get picking up by Portland with their
that's a good
three
one.
Picks, and you know, it's just straight international. Who knows who they are? You know, yeah. Jonah Bolden from Australia, Vito Kankar from Slovenia. It's just gonna be we're gonna take a flyer on somebody mentioned. We don't have a spot because it's gonna be
so,
like remember
so
kind of
like what happened with Zizic and Yabusele.
Yeah, but it's going to be like, you know, 2 years ago they took, who was it, Marcus Thornton from William & Mary. It's like, well, he had no way of playing. There was no spot for him. You were just wasting draft picks if you're just drafting college kids who have no chance.
Yeah, the only one that they seem, well, they liked Abdul Nader, but he didn't never get, like, any blow on the main roster. The only one they really, really liked was Demetrius Jackson, where they actually gave him a guaranteed contract before they, like, sight unseen. You know, so they obviously liked him.
Yeah, they had him. If they had a first round grade on him, so yeah, that's
the next ones were 53 and 56. I'll just lump them together and I'll give you three names. Two Oregon guys, Dylan Brooks, small forward, much more athletic than people think, but he's not really that big. He's not like a big guy, and his shooting kind of goes in and out, and gets in foul trouble a lot. He's a tremendous trash talker. He's just a high energy guy. He was sort of the leader of that Oregon group. The other guy that plays for Oregon that I like was Tyler Dorsey, 6 foot. I want to say 6'3" shooting guard, but he's got a lot of good moxie. He's pretty good defensively. And then Nigel Hayes from Wisconsin, who I remember when he worked out for the Celtics a year ago, said he would like. He promised he would take like 10,000 jump shots a day if they drafted him.
Yeah, if somebody drafted him. But again, where are you going to put these people on the roster? It's just sort of
they go to Maine.
Are they going to be content to go to Maine and sit there? And
if you're on a contending team, yes. You know, I'll be honest. These guys, you're just happy to be drafted. You go to the summer.
Yeah, a lot of them are just happy to be drafted, and their agents are, but. If you're, you know, we're not going to give you any pick. You have to play in the D League for $75,000. You're playing behind, you know, let's say they draft the point guard. Oh, well, you're going to be playing behind. You're fifth in line. There's no chance of you getting signed anytime soon. So you're stuck in Maine of all places. That's why, again, second round with Boston, I'm not too concerned. So moving on.
Yeah, moving on. It's along with the ice cream man truck in the background. the Brooklyn Net. Is that an ice cream truck?
Yes, it is the ice cream truck, which my kid happened to stop, and he's now holding
fantastic
up.
Fantastic timing. But speaking of giving out goodies, we have Brooklyn Nets, who gave out the greatest goodie of them all in the NBA draft this year, and that was the number one overall pick. They do get the consolation prize of a swap, because you can't trade number one picks straight up in consecutive years, so they at least get the 27th pick. They did snatch the 22nd pick overall along with the 27th through a trade with the Wizards when they gave away Bojan Bogdanovic. Was that Bojan?
Yeah.
Yeah. Give me needs. I got power forward, small forward, and point guard, which I believe is three of the four positions in basketball.
Everything but a shooting guard.
Yeah, they basically need defense in the worst way. That's why I kind of went right at bigs and defensively minded forwards. In 22, I've got Ike Anabogu, who you mentioned, a big, like, long-armed center out of – or slash power forward out of UCLA. Isaiah Hartenstein from Lithuania. And then Tyler Lydon, who we already brought up. I mean, I like him to the point where I think he can go all the way up to 22.
Okay, so for that, you know, those picks are solid. I would say you pray Harry Giles falls to you.
That is impossible. He's not going to go into the 20s. I know that the knee issues are there. We talked about him on the other show too. But, man, I just don't see it. I don't see it. I think he'll be gone. You would literally have to trade up, you know, or buy in.
Or like, just wait till Portland needs to dump salary and you get him at 15 or 20.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I think Portland's got to pick above them.
Isaiah Hartenstein I like. Also, other picks, you know, other first-round players. I would say your boy Bam.
Bam Adebayo.
Bam Adebayo, yes.
He is so raw. Like, I mean, he would literally have to start from scratch, but he's so – like, he doesn't look big when it comes to, like, the stats. But, boy, when you watch him on TV, you're like, that is a big dude, you know?
And the thing is, they're going to be losing Brook Lopez next year. And so, well, you could put him out there, sort of like Phoenix did with Marquise Chriss. That kid had no clue how to play, as you see. But, well, he's athletic, and we'll let him sort of figure it out. Or Ivan Rabb. Nothing spectacular, nothing sexy, but he can, you know,
Rabb's
be a big
that
body.
Rabb's in that weird wheelhouse where, you know, he would probably wind up super late in the first round. And I know they have the 27th pick, but he might go lower than that. And then their next pick after 27 is 57. So he'll be gone by then unless you trade down or you trade up. So Rab, it's, I don't think that's going to happen. 27th pick, the other possibilities, I had quite a few here because the Nets need so many things. Terrence Ferguson, the guard we mentioned, who was originally going to go to Arizona but played in Australia because he couldn't make the grades. Good player, 3-and-D prospect. Jordan Bell, who did all the block shots in the NCAA tournament, kind of an undersized power forward at Oregon, crazy energy. He just had that one super-duper dumb mishap where he forgot to box out on two consecutive free throw misses and cost Oregon that game in the Final Four. PJ Dozier, who's the other star player at South Carolina, kind of a point guard, but he's a taller point guard, so people like him. And then Tony Bradley, who wound up leaving North Carolina after 1 year. What do you think of those four?
You know, any
God just dumped.
Ferguson, I think, will go higher. You know, you say, you know, you like Tony Bradley. I think Ivan Rabb would be, you know, we're in the same.
Well, the notion is out there that. The notion's out there Bradley got a promise. So, like, he's going to go first. But we don't know where, you know.
We don't know where. And, you know, now with the Jonathan Gion Murfan syndrome, Marfan, it sort of shakes up the draft a bit. And then second round for the last pick, it's just meh.
Yeah, I picked Jake Wiley. He played at Eastern Washington. Matt Norlander did an article about him on CBSSports.com. Unbelievable story about what he had to overcome in order to get to where he was at. He went from school to school to school, and including Montana, and then death in the family. And really good player, I'm trying to find a decent comparison for him. Give me an idea of an energetic small power forward type, like a 6'8" guy.
An energetic, small, powerful
like a
Kenneth
Jake,
Fareed?
Like Jake Lehman. I know they're both Jakes and they're both white.
Let's just
yeah.
Move
but
on.
I mean, Jake. I hope Jake Wiley gets picked. He was very good at the Portsmouth Invitational, which is one of our. You know, me and Adam have talked about it. It's the college senior tournament after the season's over, and it's a really good tournament for you to just show your stuff.
Also, how about this? Since Brooklyn needs a backup point guard, would you take a flyer on a Kobe Simmons?
Kobe Simmons is weird because he's got an NBA style of game, but he's terrible. He's got a very weird frame. I remembered it was something where he was super duper skinny, but he had really really long arms. You know, it was just kind of weird measurements all over the place. But and he didn't fit well with what Sean Miller wanted to do at Arizona. But no one denies the talent. He's a very talented player. So, yeah, maybe. Maybe. What about Antonio Blakeney, my LSU guy? No chance?
I don't think he's going to get drafted. All right.
Charlotte Hornets needs cap space, but they can't get that because they're capped out. They need a scorer, and they need a backup point guard for Kemba Walker, especially if they turn down that team option on Ramon Sessions. What do you have at number 11? Are you looking at a scorer here? You know, there's the stigma that Michael Jordan loves the white guys.
No, number 11.
Elder, Frank Kaminsky.
I see drafts where, you know, mock drafts, they have Laurie Markkanen in there. And it's just like, why? You have Frank Kaminsky, who's the same player.
But don't you believe Markkanen will be gone by then?
Oh, he should be gone then. But I'm saying, why would Charlotte take somebody who they already invested so much in Kaminsky? No, they need a big man to back up Zeller.
Exactly, Cody. You couldn't even think of who it was. That's how.
Yeah, they have no money for anything else, but the biggest thing they need is rebounding and a backup big. And I still say Zach Collins is the guy who fits there sort of very well.
If they pick another white big man, is Charlotte going to riot?
No.
No, not unfortunately. Okay, what if you go high upside, but you know more athlete? Now Zach Collins is a really good athlete too. He was he blocked a bunch of shots in the NCAA tournament. You could probably make the case did you feel like he was Gonzaga's best player at times when you watched the tournament?
Oh, once in a while, but you know, I think the fans will only riot if they take a Luke Kennard
Luke Kennard's a great shooter though, and they do need shooting.
I think if they take another local pick. It'll be like, oh, come on.
Oh, because he's a Dookie.
Yeah, so you take Duke.
What about Justin Jackson, who is a very good player?
I was just going to say Justin Jackson as well. If you take either of those guys, it's like, yeah, but why are we taking all local guys?
Jared Allen, if you don't want to go with kind of the more composed, because Allen's stigma is that he's very, very raw, very incomplete, but he's just a crazy good athlete and he can block shots.
That's your pick?
No, I'm just saying that's one out there. I think Kennard's the guy. I think Luke Kennard's going to be the pick.
Okay.
Number 41, I have Caleb Swanigan out of Purdue. I think he's going to get drafted. I think
he'll go a little higher than that, but...
So kind of in the 30s instead of the 40s.
Yeah, it'll be the top of the second round.
Yeah, there's a lot of different ones out there that you could go with, in the 40s, like Josh Hart. If you wanted to go with him, you could go with Allen.
Yeah, Hart, Bacon.
I think Semi Ojeleye will be gone by then.
Tyler Dorsey.
Tyler Dorsey. I was like, wait a minute. I don't remember Tyler Dawson.
Maybe go for like a scrappy Cam Oliver.
Oh, yeah, who's more of an athlete. And they do need – do you feel like they need some athleticism on that Charlotte team?
They need somebody on the bench. Who is their bench guy to give them a kick?
Well, they didn't really have Bellinelli? Any last year. Yeah, Bellinelli was a corpse.
So they need a spark from the second unit. So maybe, again, those are names I would toss out.
Let's go ahead with the Chicago Bulls. Need point guard, point guard, point guard, point guard, point guard. I mean, if you saw Rajon Rondo when he went down with the injury, I'm going to tell you right now, Jerian Grant and Michael Carter-Williams were so bad that they basically played themselves out.
Yeah, but however, you traded for Cam Payne, so how many point guards do you possibly need in a draft of point guards? Yeah, but you trade for one, you sign for one, you trade for two of them. I don't think that's the biggest need, especially if you have Mitt Roddick, Mirotić, who's on a
it is restricted free agency, because we discussed this and we weren't sure. It is restricted free agency. So,
You have last year's first round pick Denzel Valentine, who got outplayed by Cristiano Felicio. I don't think point guard is the biggest need. They're right now, their biggest need is a GM or a coach, because they seem to be at war with each other.
How sad was it that when Ohio State was looking for a coach and they said Fred Hoiberg might talk to him, that Chicago was actually like raucous applause from Twitter about the fact that they might lose Hoiberg?
Yeah, it's
gotten that bad, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I would go.
It's kind of all over the place. You got a guard here, Frank Ntilikina. You got Jared Allen, who we talked about a couple times. Zach Collins, John Collins, Justin Jackson. What you got here?
I would say one of the two UCLA kids.
Either Onabogu or Leaf.
Mm-hmm.
I would go with Leaf in that case.
Obviously, they don't like Bobby Portis, because they still, as much as we see from him and like him, for some reason, they don't like him. And
well, let me ask you this. Do you feel like Portis is a stretch four? Or do you feel he's more of like a roaming paint type of four?
He is a roaming paint type of four.
Because Leaf, to me, in the NBA, plays out more like a stretch four. So he might be able to play alongside Portis. It would be a small – they'd have to go small, but they could make it work if they wanted to keep Portis.
Well, that Portis has 2 years left on his – on his rookie deal, but him or TJ Leaf, I could see.
Okay, but you don't like Ntilikina? You don't think that's
what he's gonna go way higher than 16.
I feel like that might be the slider. Like that might be one where people aren't exactly sure about like the strengths of his game and whether or not he has anything that really screams like star point guard, and they'll just say, and then they'll be the ones that just need a point guard in the worst way. That's why I said they need point guard. Now, shooters and reliable four man, those are some glaring needs too. At number 38, we mentioned Swanigan. That's another one that might fit there. And then PJ Dozier, who I already talked about.
PJ Dozier, I can see that. That
six, kind what of a bigger a, guard at 6'4",
Another bigger guard. How about Edmund Sumner?
He's coming back from an ACL, so you got to be patient with him, because he injured that ACL everywhere.
If let's say Dwayne Wade does opt back in, you could afford to be like, take a year off. Go play in Windy City Bulls.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that Sumner can truly play the one in the NBA? It didn't feel like in college he was a one. He was more of like a two.
He wasn't a one, but again, he's 6'5". So he's a taller guard who had explosiveness.
Like, I felt like they forced him to play the one because they had Trayvon Blewett, who was more of a natural two. That it was one of those things where in order to have them both on the court at the same time, one of them had to play point guard, and Sumner kind of got saddled with it at the time. You know, then the knee injury happened and he decided to go pro anyway. So I don't think he's even worked out. You know, I know he was invited to the draft combine, but I don't even know if he was even capable of working out. And I doubt we'll see him in summer league. But maybe they take a flyer on him. You know, 38's not a bad pick there. We talked about the Cleveland Cavaliers. Their needs, credit card. You need a really good credit card for that tax bill, huh?
Yeah, if they buy a pick in the second round.
No way. I mean, they got Cedi Osman that they might gain, they could bring over, but that's it.
They can bring Cedi Osman, but if they could buy.
They got Keith Felder, who they claimed they liked, but they never played him because LeBron. Well, we know LeBron's rule. LeBron trusts veterans. He does not like young guys. That's just his rule, you know.
Yeah, but you have, you know, I don't think Derek Williams or Deron Williams or all the other old people are going to re-sign on their, you know, one-year deal. So if you do buy a pick, I think they could go for sort of a big man.
Okay. Detroit Pistons. Is this just the most – I was talking to Jordan Duncan, who's from the Place to Be Nation Network, about this, too, because he's a Pistons fan. He's from Michigan. This is just the most blah team. Am I right? They're just so blah.
It wasn't a blah team. It's just they fell apart and have no identity. I know. It's, oh, we like Tobias Harris. He's good. Oh, we like Andre Drummond. He's their centerpiece. Oh, we, you know, Reggie Jackson. Okay, he came back from his injury, and then, oh, he came back from his injury, and this team didn't come back.
We discussed their issues with the salary cap space and the fact that they won't have any and might be – or very well will be over the cap when we did our playlist off-season previews because of the fact that you got Drummond. You did that overpay for John Luer, it was, right?
Uh-huh.
And then you've got Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. If you really want him badly enough, they're going to have to match up to about $20 million per year unless somebody gives them a max offer sheet, in which case Detroit might balk and they might have the cap space. But
they claim they're going to match a max deal. So
it's very likely they'll go well over the cap. So basically they got to get it right with the pick at number 12, which is a lottery pick. It's a nice little area so that you can find a good player. The one that everyone has pegged here, well, there's one that I heard a lot, which was Luke Kennard, but the other one I think has been pegged here is Donovan Mitchell, a 6'3" shooting guard / point guard out of Louisville.
And that's why I only scouted the top 11 picks very heavily. Because what's came to Detroit, it's just like, well, what are they going to do? I don't know. What do they need?
They need a guard. They need scoring. And they need athleticism.
They need
and
something.
You can't move Reggie Jackson. It's just not going to happen.
They could move him. There could be a team desperate enough for, like, well, we like his style.
But it would have to go all the way to February. You'd have to bleed that out all the way to February.
Yeah, but you know, you never in this day and age, you never say never. But yeah, I could see Mitchell or Kennard. I will agree with you, sir.
And so you like Kennard, you said, or you like Donovan Mitchell?
Either or. Kennard seems like a logical fit, but you know, you say Mitchell, yeah, I could see that too. So
if they need shooting, which is like Stan Van's type of wheelhouse, then that's Kennard. Donovan Mitchell is one of those guys who gets like red hot, but he's also a really, really good athlete. And he's from the Patino system, so he can play pretty good defense. So he can kind of provide all that. The other possibilities I looked at were Zach Collins and Justin Patton. If you needed another, like a scoring, I was kind of thinking of a good scoring big to go with Drummond. Offensive development never really comes to fruition, so you can kind of give yourself a backup plan. Or John Collins.
Or you hope somebody falls to you. Like, let's say Markkanen falls to you. You'd be ecstatic. You'd be like,
that would be a dream, yeah.
We could play him with Drummond, and they would, you know, that'd be perfect because, you know, we have our Stan Van three-point shooter, and we have just an anchor, so. And they don't have a second-round pick, do they?
Nope, second-round pick. I believe in the process that had been traded. Because, you know, you have so many ones that was traded to the Jazz. Now, I don't remember the parameters of that trade, but I mean, it's not exactly like it's more of a trivial type of trade that I can't really think of off the top of my head. But yeah, no second round pick. So let's move on to the Indiana Pacers.
Oh, come on. Let's get.
Is this more blah than the Detroit Pistons for you?
They're just doubling down on blah.
Okay. They need to. how desperate is it for them to keep Paul George? Do you feel like the Paul George thing is more like a death march, like New Orleans had with Chris Paul and Portland had with LaMarcus Aldridge, where you just need to get this shit over with and get some value out of it before they walk away with nothing?
Or let them walk away with nothing. Don't have your team, you know, be built around one player and, you know, start shifting focus to Miles Turner to be your guy. The problem
but
is,
it seems like they're buying in that they really want to keep Paul George, and you know, and Paul George feels like he can get that supermax by getting back on the All NBA roster.
Yeah, but the problem is, you know, as we saw last year, is the tinkering of Bird saying he's a four, and then did not work out.
Well, you know why Bird's opinion, even though that was a great documentary with the Celtics and the Lakers, you know why that Larry Bird's opinion doesn't matter anymore? Because he's not with the Pacers anymore. Kevin Pritchard's a GM.
Exactly. So now they need a four, now they need a two, and they need a bench because, you know,
a defensive big man to go with Miles Turner and help him out would be great too. So,
okay, so
that's
kind of
what I was pointing at, but you were talking more about a guard. I
say Terrence Ferguson because he's just a spot-up shooter.
17 seems high for Ferguson, though, in my eyes.
But I think 18th. And they need to hit a home run, so why not take a flyer on him?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what could go if they blow the pick and George leaves anyways? Well, what good does, let's say, a mediocre pick do? I think you sort of have to swing for the fences.
I mean, I'm trying to think of somebody that's kind of in that wheelhouse at guard that you might be able to get, because it seems like a lot of big men are going to be available once you get down into the late teens and the guards kind of start to dry up unless you're
the
really...
The guards are completely dried up at that point. You got, let's see, Ferguson.
And if you're looking for shooting guards and Monk is
Wesley
gone.
Wesley Iwundu.
Wesley Iwundu is a total reach. Like I like him. He came out of Kansas State, but if you go with him, oh my God.
We'll go big then in your book. So
all right, Zach Collins, Jared Allen, Ike Onabogu, three names.
Onabogu, I can see.
Yeah, just straight up athleticism to go with Turner, who's really blossoming into a really good NBA big man.
Maybe unsexy John Collins to go on that unsexy team.
John Collins is already pretty unsexy. I mean,
and that's the perfect team for him. Just a bland old Indiana.
Yeah, John Collins. I mean, every time we need to fill in that gap, John Collins. I like Josh Hart at number 47 for the Pacers. What do you think?
Wesley Iwundu?
Wesley Iwundu, yeah. You know, another shooter.
Another shooter where that's the point of if you're going to get a, you know.
I like how you're considering him for 17th. We could take him at 47.
Take him at 47. Damian Dotson.
That's the one. He played at Oregon
originally. Sterling Brown.
To Houston. Sterling Brown out of SMU, a senior. Both these guys.
Okay, how about if you go big, maybe Edmund Sumner?
Yeah.
He's a second-round pick. You know, he's not going to provide much. You can't really do much with...
Like, can you figure out a trade for a way to dump Monte Ellis on draft?
No. There's no way to trade. Nobody wants him unless you're offering your first pick with
and
him.
And he has a player option at $11 million plus in 2018. I mean,
yeah, so
you would have to coax him into thinking he's a better player than he is. Like Luke Walton brilliantly did with Nick Young so that he can opt out, and it was basically mission accomplished. Because remember the year before that, they were like begging to get Nick Young out of there, and now Nick Young's in a position where he had a good year efficiency wise, so he wants to opt out. It's like, thank God we did what we were supposed to do.
Well, you know? He got serious, and then you know,
yeah.
Now that he's
but that's what I'm saying. Pacers will probably have one more year of Monte to try to do this. They're also going to lose CJ Miles most likely. You know?
Oh yeah, Miles gone, but I think you could probably get a backup shooting guard.
Backup guard. You go big in the first round. A guard in the second round makes sense.
Yeah.
The Miami Heat only have one pick, and that's at number 14. I don't remember the parameters of what happened with their second round pick. It had probably something involving
LeBron.
The 76ers and the Atlanta Hawks, which I don't even know how that worked. You know, these second round trades, I always get mixed up with them. Needs small forward, athleticism. They need somebody who can draw some fouls. I'm be honest. I'm kind of talking about Gordon Hayward here, because he kind of fits all three of those bills. They also need a stretch forward. They need somebody who can shoot threes.
Okay, so.
So I'm gonna go with somebody completely different that doesn't fit any of those things, and I'll go with OG Anunoby or Harry Giles.
I was going to say Harry Giles as well.
Okay, so I should have just said Ananobi, so you could have said Giles, and I wouldn't have seen this smart.
No, you, what you're failing to realize is these are compliments towards you, because usually I just shit on your picks going, these are terrible, what are you thinking?
Now, both these people have ACL tears. Now, Giles had two. That's why he's kind of tumbling here, even though if you looked at him, he had had an ACL tear already when he played in the under-19 games in 2015, and he was spectacular. He was the best player, and he played with Josh Jackson, Jason Tatum, Terrence Ferguson, Caleb Swanigan, Alonzo Trier, Jalen Brunson, really good players, and Harry Giles was the best player. And yeah, I think he played against Zubac against the other country in that final, and he was the best player. But he's had a second ACL tear after that. He just really underwhelmed at Duke, even though he did have some moments where he looked like he can show some of that athleticism. He's got really big hands. His workouts seem to have gone well. Ananobi tore his ACL early in the season, but he was one of those guys who could guard 1 through 5 in college. Really good athlete. Kind of came out of nowhere as a freshman at Indiana. Who do you kind of like between the two?
I would say Harry Giles seems to have a bigger upside because, you know, he was a potential top 3 pick of the
Can you play four. That forward given how lean he is?
He could still put on weight, and you could play, you know, in this day of small ball, it doesn't really matter. And don't forget, Miami is a free agent destination. The difference between them and, like, Brooklyn or Indiana. Yeah, Brooklyn and Indiana have to hit home runs. Miami could just, well, we'll draft a guy and hope he does something good. But, yeah, we're shooting for Gordon Hayward. We're shooting for, you know, all these – every big free agent name, we want to be in on it.
Well, so. Miami does have to get it right, though, because you don't have a second-round pick to back it up. Like, I mean, they did well with Justice Winslow and Josh Richardson. They hit pretty well on both of them. Now I know,
but also they have this the D League connection where they get
the Sioux Falls Skyforce.
Every year they get players from there who are contributors. So
well, because it's a good team and they run a good D League system, so they're able to truly develop the players.
So having that, not having a second round pick, is completely doesn't matter if you could get in people from Sioux Falls.
That's a good point. The other two I thought about, Donovan Mitchell, a guard, just in case, you know, because you're probably going to lose Deion Waiters. Deion Waiters is probably going to get an overpay in free agency, and then Justin Jackson, who we've talked about before, kind of a, you know, scoring small forward, kind of a good backup plan if you don't get Gordon Hayward. Give me a chance that they get Gordon Hayward. Give me a percentage. 30%?
20.
That's lower than I thought. Like, this is kind of an inkling that Boston and Miami are kind of ramping it up to try to get him.
Yeah, I think they're both right, but I'd say if, you know, Hayward, I think, would probably rather play if he's in Utah and has been happy in Utah for the first round.
I feel like that Stevens thing is real. Like,
what I was gonna say. The Stevens thing, yes, it's not like, well, go play Miami. Well, he doesn't care about Miami. It's not a destination. I think it's just more of the Stevens connection where, you know, because don't forget, he wasn't highly recruited at all. Oh. Stevens found him. And
did you buy that Boston Celtics baby shirt for Gordon Hayward's kid? Really, really, really nice move by you, Adam.
And then Isaiah Thomas follows him on Instagram.
Well, we're talking about, for the uninitiated, that Gordon Hayward was caught paparazzi style with a newborn with a Boston Celtics shirt, which just immediately had people aflame of, oh, Gordon Hayward's going to the Celtics, you know?
Yeah.
This is my favorite part of the NBA. NBA Twitter postseason, like, or after the season's over, that's the funnest part. That's how Banana Boat happened. Give me a – what was another kind of crisis that happened during the offseason like that? There's quite a few. I'm just missing them all. But
The DeAndre Jordan hostage situation.
Yeah, that was kind of a connect – the Banana Boat had, like, connectivity to that. It was just all fun and – 4th of July cupcake, which we found out after the fact had more significance than we thought. Okay, we're getting off the track here. New York Knicks, who actually have 3 draft picks.
You forgot Milwaukee.
Oh, how did I forget the Milwaukee Bucks? How did I forget them?
I don't know.
You know why? Because they actually were out of sequence when I put it together. Milwaukee Bucks, you know what they need? More athletes, because they're just loading the cupboard on athletes. They do need 3-point shooting and rebounding. Their rebounding numbers were atrocious. But let's just get more athletes, please. I mean, I feel like this is the antidote to the Warriors. Just get a bunch of athletes that can play defense.
Okay, so Bam Adebayo.
At number 18 is high. Jared Allen seems like a good fit.
You could say it's high, but this is the team that took Thon Maker. This is the team that took Giannis.
That's
who,
a good point. They've reached.
They have no problem reaching.
And,
so
and listen, Thon Maker and Giannis, not bad picks. You know, I mean,
you know,
is it too early to say Thon Maker was a success?
He was a success because people, you know, there are people like, oh, he can't play, period.
But isn't there that inkling that even though a player – like, we saw this with Giannis his first year where they're not showing the numbers yet, but there are parts – there are moments in that rookie year where you watch it and you're like, okay, this guy's going to be pretty good down the road. You know?
I wouldn't say that. It's just if you could get on the court, especially this past year as a rookie year, that's a success altogether is somebody who is – well, he's a developmental prospect. Oh, okay, well, he's doing that. Oh, or look at, you know, who were some Finnish
Justin Jackson, to me, would be a good fit, too. If he could play defense. He guarded the best guard or the best forward for every team that North Carolina played in the tournament, and he can shoot threes, so he kind of fills some needs. So that's one. And then John Collins is basically Greg Monroe 7, right?
Yeah.
I mean, kind of in a ways. Number 48, which is there. I mean, I think this is a miracle. I think the Bucks have their own picks. I think they're one of the only teams that actually have their own picks, and they didn't have to trade them or do all this nonsense that it's theirs. Cameron Oliver at Nevada. Good athlete.
How about Cam Oliver from Nevada?
You just said that.
Oh, well, we're agreeing again then.
You said,
what the hell?
Are you being serious?
Yes, I agree. We talk about it. Just they need spark plugs that don't have positions. Oh, there's a spark plug that doesn't have a position.
Well, I mean, Semi Ojeleye, who we talked about before, I think he'll be gone by then. You know.
Stop it. Just agree. I agreed with you again. Take compliments.
I know it's rare. Okay, can we now talk about the New York Knicks? I think that was just a clandestine way of not talking about the New York Knicks.
New York Knicks, I think.
But it's a Christmas miracle. They have three draft picks. Phil Jackson has three draft picks.
We're not going to talk about the drama. I'm just going to say Malik Monk. I've had him.
Well,
it's been
a shoe-in because he's one of those bright lights type of performers where when it's a big stage, he seems to come up with clutch shots. He had the crazy, I think it was a 47-point game against North Carolina back in December in Las Vegas. Really good shooter. He's got short arms. He's not, you know, defensively got a few bit. He's got a few issues. He got shut down at times. Had some bad shooting nights. But when he's on, my God, he is the best shooting guard in the draft. I'll put it that way. Would you agree he's the best shooting guard?
Agreed. And for a team that doesn't have a shooting guard at all, yeah, he's undersized. But
here's the thing. I think there's a possibility that Monk will already be gone. I think he might. Mm. I think like Orlando might overreach. I think, you know, the Kings might even think about him. You know,
I've had him sort of just day one.
As
nice fit.
Mm-hmm. Lauri Markkanen, Dennis Smith, who's a point guard. I know a lot of people have been poo-pooing about how Dennis Smith wouldn't fit well in the triangle. Like the triangle's really going to last by the time Dennis Smith blossoms. And then there's Luke Kennard again. There's that man again. I mean, are there any possibilities there?
No.
Markkanen will be available there. You think he's just...
Yeah, you're going to put a stretch five with Porzingis, who is stretching out every day.
Is Lauri Markkanen truly a stretch five in the NBA? I feel like he's more of a four.
Fine, stretch four. Stretch whatever.
Just stretch everything.
He's not going to be in the paint at all.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to put two big men who don't play in the paint?
And they need defense. Markkanen doesn't really provide that. Yeah, Dennis Smith had a lot of defensive like issues when it came to just playing hard. You know, now that's something where it's built in that they do play good defense. They just didn't try well. They just didn't try hard in college, and then they show the effort in the NBA when they're getting paid. Monk to me showed some defensive marks, so it seems like a decent fit. Let's go to number 44. I got Nigel Williams-Goss. So if you don't get a point guard at 8, Williams-Goss is way down there. You can go pick him up. He's a decent player. You know, there were some times at Gonzaga where he really carried him.
Okay.
You got any other ones? I mean, I need something from you. They need defense. You think another big man to help him out? I mean, they've done well internationally. Even some guys that they didn't draft, like, you know, Kuzminskis. Who's the other one that they got kind of late? One of them was Ron Baker, who they got as an undrafted free agent. So they do some – they have pulled off some decent pickups, even if they weren't –
Defense, okay. P.J. Dozier.
Okay.
Jaron Blossomgame.
Blossomgame, yeah. He can shoot some threes too. Well, at least he did. This senior season, he was terrible. At 58, I had Devon Reed out of Miami and Kostya Mishidi, the international player, who I don't even know if is still on the board. I'm not okay. Sure. I mean, that's number 58. That's whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Orlando Magic. What do they need? They need defense and offense, Adam.
They need help.
They need help. Well, they got like this new little like clique of GMs. Have you noticed that they just had another one that they picked up? It was let me take a look at who it was. It's a familiar face. Unless you remember who it was.
No, they have like two.
Well, they got Jeff Weltman, who had been at Toronto under Masai Ujiri, now he's the team president. John Hammond, who was the GM in Milwaukee, but he knew his days were numbered in Milwaukee, losing more and more power by the day. He left, and now he's the GM in Orlando under Weltman. And then they brought over Pete D'Alessandro, who had been the GM in the Kings, and he had been an assistant GM of such at Denver. So they've got this new cast of characters in the front office, but we have no idea what they're thinking of. They might just pull off a fire sale on draft day, and we just have no idea. So the number six pick is kind of up in the air. I mean, I feel like they have so many needs. You can go with Dennis Smith Jr. You could go with Jonathan Isaac. You could go with Lauri Markkanen. You could go with Malik Monk, who I think is a stronger possibility than people think. What do you think here?
I forget who I had, Smith or Isaac?
One of those two. Isaac I don't want to say he'll definitely be there, but he'll probably be there. And I would probably just pick him up. You know, do you think he fits though well with Aaron Gordon, who they want to kind of niche in at the power forward spot?
I think so, because, you know, Isaac's not going to be an offensive anything. So he's just going to be roaming around, and
it kind of relieves Gordon from trying to be a two-way player because he's not.
Yeah, and they're both the same size, the, you know, the 3-4 tweener, so they could, you know, be interchangeable and both be on the court. And
well, Isaac can shoot a three. He can shoot a three. He's got the shot blocking. He can get some. He got some steals in college. He's got a lot of tricks. Like he's got crazy wingspan, and he's a big dude. I mean, Florida State altogether was a big team, but they look like monsters. But Jonathan Isaac was one of them. Malik Monk, we already mentioned him, so I don't want to be repetitive, but I like him. Like, I think that if they need shooting, Monk is a really good answer.
Okay.
I got you stumped.
And it's just coming down, if you don't like Elfrid Payton, go for Smith.
Yeah. I mean, do you think they'll give up Payton?
The people who are supporting him are all gone, and Smith is an upgrade over Payton, but Payton's gotten better, and point guard is the hardest position to learn.
Yeah,
so
he gets triple doubles, but I mean, people are like, oh yeah, he got a triple double, or he got two or three triple doubles. Well, it seems like everybody is now. It's like,
all right. They also have 33 and 35.
Well, they have number 25 also.
Oh yeah, 25.
Which they got from the Raptors in the Terrence Ross deal. How about another Terrence Ferguson?
How about Justin Jackson or John Collins or the other miscellaneous people you throw in for every pick?
Justin Jackson will be gone. I'll throw another name at you. DJ Wilson out of Michigan. I think he might be available. Kind of like a rangy power forward who can block shots, kind of played in a small ball system at Michigan, can kind of play a little looser out there in Orlando, show his stuff. Isaiah Hartenstein I had sort of niched in here too.
Okay, yeah, you can do that. They just need everything. That's the problem because, well, they need everything, but you have Vucevic and Biombo who are your centers, and you have Steven Zimmerman, they're, you know, second-round pick last year, who's also a big man. So it's like, how big of a team can you possibly build? So
number 33, I like Semi Ojeleye. And at number 35, I'll just throw a new name out there, Juwan Evans out of Oklahoma State. I kind of like him. Small point guard, but he could basically ran an NBA system and under Brad Underwood at Oklahoma State. He controlled the ball the entire time. He ran a very efficient offense at Oklahoma State. He was the man. He ran the show. He ran a lot of pick and rolls. So
okay, so if they go Isaac at six, you can. This might be a place you can pick up Frank Jackson, 33 or 35.
Or Evans, either or. Okay, Philadelphia 76ers. Now, I'm going to break news. They have 4 second-round picks, but they do have
– Let's just not mention any of those second-round picks because who cares?
Okay.
They're just going to be
– Well, let's just
– They don't have roster spots for them.
Okay, then let's get the small potatoes out of the way for Philadelphia first. Number 36, I have P.J. Dozier and Devin Robinson out of Florida. I also mentioned Juwan Evans at 39, at 46, Edmund Sumner and Monte Morris. Basically, any guards, because they need guards in the absolute worst way if they don't pick a guard at number 3. And then Kostya Mashidi at number 50. So that's their picks. They got it 36, 39, 46, and 50. I'm sure they can pick up some decent ones, but you know they've had multiple second-round picks in the past, and those haven't worked out either. So number 3. Okay,
why wouldn't they take Josh Jackson?
Well – what about the possibility that they can convince the LA to do a trade so that they can get Lonzo Ball? Because I think they desperately need a point guard. That's what they need the most.
Well, they desperately do, but if the Lakers are attached to Ball, let's just say they are. What of everybody else? Why is Josh Jackson not the best player on the board?
Well, Josh Jackson is the best forward on the board. I'll say that for sure. Would you agree with that, or do you like Isaac a little more, Jason Tatum a little bit more?
Well, Josh Jackson is by far the most explosive of the offensive players, and you have to think if Saric, Embiid, and Simmons are going to be your big three, you can't. What good is another big man going to do for your team? So, Tatum, where's Tatum going to play if you get him? So you're really looking at Fox, Monk, or Jackson.
It's a good point because Tatum and Simmons, in terms of isolation, are a little bit repetitive. Where if they try to turn them into back down guard forwards, well, you're kind of playing the two people at the same time. So I get that. Jackson, I guess Jackson, I don't think can work at the two. So you're not bolstering your backcourt by picking Jackson. You're making your front court even stronger than it already is. When you have Embiid, you have Dario Saric, Ben Simmons will be hopefully back from his foot surgery. And then you add Jackson to the mix. You have a tremendous defensive front court.
Yeah, and
down the road.
Wait, did you just agree with me? Wait a minute.
Yeah, I think we disagreed.
Oh. Wow.
So so no Jason Tatum. That's out of the mix. De'Aaron Fox, a little bit of too much of a reach?
No. No, but I just think Jackson is better. Then if you're going to take best player available, Jackson is way better in.
Yeah, if you saw him against Kentucky when they played that regular season game, he was the best player on the court, and that was with Malik Monk and De'Aaron Fox on the same court, and he was the best. The one thing that Jackson has, he's very young, so he gets saddled. He's very very active, so he gets in foul trouble pretty quickly. And Oregon did a good job of that in the game that they lost in the tournament, but his shot, his release is kind of funky. His defensive awareness is good, but he does have some lapses like most kids do. And I'm not sure if he's a good free throw shooter either. So we there's some question marks with Josh Jackson, but I will say this. If you pick him, you're absolutely getting a good player. I'll put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I hope you're getting a good player at number 3, but we've seen some shit players at number 3. Let's go ahead and move on now. And we got 2 teams left. One is the Toronto Raptors. They only have the 23rd pick, which I think they somehow saddled away from the Los Angeles Clippers through Milwaukee. And so their needs, I say they would need a small forward because they're probably going to lose Patrick Patterson and P.J. Tucker in free agency, especially if they're saving all the cap space so that they can re-sign Kyle Lowry and Serge Ibaka. They also need a change of pace point guard, more of a like a true point guard. Because the thing about Corey Joseph I don't like is that he's kind of like Kyle Lowry Jr. Is that a good way of putting it?
Okay.
He kind of plays a little like him. I know he passes the ball more than Lowry in a ways, but he seems like he's more of a volume shooter. I want a true point guard. And I know that DeLon Wright was supposed to be that, but it's not really working out.
And the problem with that is none of these positions are really there's no depth for the their needs.
Yeah, and I, like, that's what it is. Like the guards by that point will all kind of be kind of washed out by 23 because I think that's the 23rd pick, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to be gone by then. I mean, if you want like Monte Morris, that's a reach. A big time reach. If you want Juwan Evans, some people might question that one. So then you go to the small forward spot, and then you got some guys that you might have available by that point would be people like Semi Ojeleye, who might be a bit of an overreach. You know, the one thing that was sort of a problem is that a guy that I liked in this area from Latvia was Rodion Krejčík, but he's gone. He withdrew from the draft so that he can boost his stock for next year. And then once you get past like Josh Jackson, Jason Tatum, Justin Jackson, OG Anunoby, it really bottoms out at the wing spot. Like you got guys like Wesley Iwundu, LJ Peak, Jaron Blossom Game, Devin Robinson. I mean, Devin Robinson might be a nice little pickup, but I'm not sure about that either. I also mentioned Sindarius Thornwell. I mean, what say you?
I'm probably going to go with Hartenstein and just keep him overseas for a year.
Yeah, I heard that one, I think, from Bobby Marks on the draft preview with Woj, that he said that Hartenstein might be a good fit there because he can stretch.
He can stretch, and you could buy yourself a year and figure out what you're doing with Valanciunas.
You think the marriage there with Valanciunas, Ibaka, and Casey might not be the strongest one?
They offered Valanciunas for Cousins, so they are shopping him around.
Okay, Washington Wizards, all they have is the 52nd pick. Not saying they're going to immediately make their team better, but they need interior toughness. They need a bench. No, interior toughness is not something you just buy off the street, okay? That's built in. They need their bench so badly to get improved, and they need a third scorer. But this sounds like big ideas. This sounds like stuff that you have to do via a trade or free agency,
they're capped out too.
So they're
you're not getting anything in the second round who could provide anything.
The two I thought about were Alec Peters and Edmund Sumner. You can improve your guard spot, or you can improve your shooting, your power forward spot.
Well, yeah, they're also two players coming off injuries. So,
So did you have any kind of ideas at 52 for
Washington? No, I don't see anyone helping the Wizards at that position.
Yeah,
it's just too far down, and
they've done well with the first round picks. Like Otto Porter worked out at the end, even though they're going to pay later because they didn't get the extension for him before November 1st, and now they're going to pay later. And the other one is Kelly Oubre, who kind of worked out as like a stretch four type in a small ball lineup when they would get away from the Markieff Morris Marcin Gortat lineup, and they would switch it and go small. And Oubre's been a nice change of pace for them. I don't know. I know you were not high on him when his career started, but I mean it's kind of worked out. But they don't.
It's these freshman kids who just don't know how to play anything, and it's now taking the full 4 years to them to develop into a potential.
Yeah,
you know,
we always use the Markieff Morris trade as a good example of it worked out to give away a draft pick to get a player like that. But what about Bogdanović, which they traded their first round pick to get for this as basically a rental? Like, did that work out for you?
Oh, it worked for them perfect because if they didn't have him, they would have zero bench.
But what if they lose him if they don't match the offer sheet?
Well, if they lose him, well, unfortunately, you lost him. But what would they have done? Would they have gotten as far?
Would they have gone seven games against the Boston Celtics?
No. Would they have gotten as hot as they did in the second half of the season? Would they have given, the bench, failed them in the end? But who is it? Trey Burke? Jennings?
They had to pick up Brandon Jennings off the street. And then they had they had just a litany of problems with their bench. Like the moment the bench would come in against Boston, which happened in game seven because Wall kind of ran out of gas, their bench got killed. I mean, that was one of the reasons why what happened to them happened, and why they wound up sitting at home instead of playing the Cavs. And I think they would have given the Cavs some problems. I mean, John Wall and Beal together would have given their backcourt a lot of problems switching on defense. That would have been a nightmare, but it didn't happen. But this is wrapping up the Eastern Conference preview. Is there anything you want to kind of keep in mind for the East as we finish up? Because this is also the last part of the two parts for the
wrapping up the draft. I don't see it. There's always that, you have there's drama, there might be trades. I don't see many trades happening this year. It seems like I am very content with my top 10, a lot of people seem to be like, yeah, these teams are all going to, there's going to be like no panic trades where you have, you know, three first rounds to move up. And I think teams are just going to sit where they are, and the teams looking to move down, kind of, you know, the mediocre ones like Detroit and Toronto. And it's like, well, in Portland. Yeah, but they have middle picks anyways. We only care about the top 10, really.
Yeah, I think we'll see more trade downs, because I feel like the less you have to pay out for the first round picks, the better, because they're going to be squeezing on that salary cap, like you said, because there's not going to be as much spending, because the cap is sort of like stabilized, stabilized itself, where it's at 101 million. It's not going to be fidgeting too much. There were a lot of overpays last summer, and they're going to, I mean, Portland's one of those teams that we mentioned in the West who's just going to pay dearly for that. And so you want to either move down or just get out of the first round entirely.
If your guy got drafted, nope. Why settle for somebody who you don't like? Just, see what you can get for that pick. Because there will be some hungry teams out there.
But the thing that's fascinating about it this year is that there's just so few Euros. The international market this year is so bad. It bounces back next year with Luka Doncic, and there's a couple of other ones behind him that people are high on for first-round value. But this year, it's just not there. And if they do pick late first for guys like Hartenstein or someone takes a flyer on Jonathan Jean, but despite the blood disorder, it's going to be such a reach that people are going to immediately regret it. It's going to be like, why did you pick that guy? You know, so you're going to see a lot of college players get picked instead of stashes.
And there are going to be a lot of college players. You're going to see a lot of them not playing because there's no spots for them.
Yeah, well, you got the two-way contracts, though, to help you out. So if you have a player that comes into training camp and you know, like a Malcolm Brogdon, because people are looking for the next Malcolm Brogdon and say,
oh, everybody's looking for that next second-round steal, but there's a lot of garbage in that second round, too, who just never play.
Yeah, but we're going to be weeding that out as we go along. But on behalf of Adam Murray, this is Andrew Reich. Enjoy the NBA draft. We'll be back. Take care, guys.